Ray told me that she's in love with two boys.
Ooh. Okay.
In first grade. Yeah, I mean, I took her out to dinner and kind of quizzed her about it, and then she asked me on the way home if we could play the quiet game because she was tired of me asking her questions.
Wow, when you're 7-year-old, right?
Six-year-old.
When your 6-year-old asks you to play the quiet game, that is a parenting win right there. Yeah, well played.
Right.
That's good advice here for all parents. Annoy your kids with questions enough
that they will want
to be quiet.
You're welcome. That's for free.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
Yes. Woo. Back in the studio.
Mm-mm.
Officially November.
Yeah.
I guess it was November last week when we recorded, but
that was unofficial November.
Yeah, November 1st is not official yet.
Right. We pre-recorded too, didn't we?
No, we did
one. No, we did a live one last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it was post-election.
Yeah.
Oh, your election. I was like,
I mean,
what election?
Like the vote. Like we had a national election where everybody went to the polls and voted on things.
It was not a national election.
It was. People across the country voted for stuff.
We did not vote on national issues. We had local elections.
But all across
and we're
the country.
Saying this to feel better about not participating. thank you.
I may not have. Yes.
I voted because we were talking about incorporation here in the Woodlands.
Yes.
How did that go?
We did not incorporate.
Oh, is that positive?
I don't really know.
But you voted on it.
I did vote.
I saw lots of signs over it. Yeah.
I saw lots of signs. I read some stuff. I voted the way I wanted to vote. I have no idea how it came out as good or bad.
Great.
Yep.
Democracy, people.
You did have your sticker on. I saw that.
I did.
I voted sticker.
I was the only person in the voting booth area when I got there. It was me and like 15 volunteers. They were very ready to take care of me.
Sure they were. We got one.
That's right.
It's the only time where it's like appropriate to wear a sticker as an adult.
Is that the only time?
Name another time where you're wearing a sticker.
I mean, like
a name tag.
That's not a sticker. But there should be more times when stickers are appropriate as an adult.
I agree.
I should get like... I don't know, when I go to the doctor, like you get a lollipop, I should get a sticker for going to the doctor.
I got one for my COVID shot.
You got a sticker for your COVID
shot?
Rude.
I did not get a sticker for my COVID shot. I got the little card.
I didn't get entered into a lottery.
I went to the like public health initiative.
I went to a thing. I didn't go to a I went to a hospital.
So like
with a building.
Some guy gave you a sticker out of his trunk?
After he stabbed her with a needle out of her trunk.
I got the card. I took a selfie with it, but I did not get a sticker.
Yeah.
I got the card. I mean, you have to get the card. If you don't have the card, what are you doing?
Well, the vaccine
card? I think it's legal.
Yeah, I think you have to have it. Yeah.
I know, that's what I'm saying. If you don't have the card.
Well, I have the card.
If you don't have the card, you literally just got stuck with a needle by some weirdo in a parking lot.
Yeah. Let us know, listeners. What situations in your life do you need a sticker?
Yeah. Right. I did hear after, like, as the people were trying to get more people to get vaccinated, and they started coming out with all sorts of, like, promotions of, like, oh, if you get a vaccine, you do this. There are a lot of people who are like, this has some serious group project energy from high school of like, I did all the work already and now everybody else is getting the benefits.
Right, yeah. They're giving away $100.
Where my $100 at?
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I want to be entered into a lottery.
I just tried to save my life and that of my relatives.
Yeah. Where's my $100?
But if I could have gotten $100 from waiting out.
Worth it.
All right. We're talking about an article here from Christianity Today about the Lord's Prayer.
Oh.
That's going to be our main topic, the Lord's Prayer. One specific petition.
One line. One. Ooh, look at you throwing out the fancy words.
Yes. Yes. But that's what we're going to be discussing.
Cool.
Christianity Day.
I'm looking forward to it.
But first, I have an article.
Excellent.
Some news. Elise.
The news.
Wow.
There you go. Yeah.
It works better when we don't have to cue you every time. Just
listen, you missed it last time, so I'm off my game.
We had news.
He reads the news.
I know
time.
You had news, but. You missed the news moment.
Maybe you missed the news moment.
We all missed the news moment.
Okay. I actually sent this earlier, I think yesterday to you, Elise, but it still makes me laugh.
Sure.
Yeah. A couple used surrogates to have 21 babies in less than 2 years. Experts say that having such a big family is unusual, but could work.
Could work. Who's an expert in this? Who is an expert in having 21 kids
Duggars.
In your family?
And by the way, it did not. So,
I don't think that's evidence in support of this. Okay, so they used, I mean, I would guess 21 different surrogates.
Some of them could be twins, theoretically.
Theoretical twins. Okay, but
minimum of 11, imagine.
11 plus surrogate mothers.
Yes.
To have 21 babies in the course of 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they now have 21 children in their family, all under 2 years old. Or for sure, under 3 years old.
The babies range in age from 3 months to 19 months. 21.
No. No. That is a, that is, what's it called when you have all the babies in the hospital? What's that part of the hospital called?
The prenatal unit?
No, that's like the, that's okay, when it's like,
I don't know.
Pediatric ward?
I don't know. It's where all the babies are. That's where it
the
is.
The baby, baby, Babytopia.
Babytopia in the hospital. That's what this is.
That sounds like a good thing, though. This is not a Babytopia.
Yeah, not, yeah.
You need like a full-time.
They're in like cardboard boxes lined up in a
seriously,
empty
you need a full-time
room, yeah.
Nursing staff. You need like.
Oh.
Oh, they have.
They have.
Yeah.
They have it. They
Who
have.
Who are these people?
Exactly.
Is this in the United States? Are we are my tax dollars going to support the education of these people?
Because they have 16 live-in nannies. 1-6.
Live-in.
What?
So
they now have
house
a house
is big enough for
16 uh-huh. other adults
plus 21
and 21 infants
and them.
They are in Georgia, but the country
of Georgia.
Yeah. So not where's okay. that? Who's to say?
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't.
Europe maybe.
It's Eastern Europe.
Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Come on, Patrick. You know, former Soviet republic here. Yeah. Come on, Republic of Georgia.
Who's to say? That should be illegal.
Having that many kids or being in the Republic of Georgia?
Naming a country after we already had a state in Georgia. Because now when it says Georgia, I don't know what it's talking about.
Pretty sure that's not the order that it happened
right.
in.
Either way, should be illegal. All right. Mom says, I can tell you one thing. My days are never boring.
Sure.
Ooh.
What is she doing?
Telling 16 nannies to care for her 21 kids.
Wandering around Target with a Frappuccino for some me time.
There you go.
Yeah.
Did she have any of these children?
No.
They were all
surrogates.
Has she had any children of her own?
Yes.
I shouldn't say of her own. Yes. Has she,
so
they,
Christina
had,
and Gallup are the parents. They
Gallup?
Also, Gallup.
Okay.
They also live with her 6-year-old from a previous relationship and one of Gallup's
22.
9 other children.
So Gallup has now fathered
30
kids.
30 children.
All right.
Ain't nobody need to do that.
Nope.
Yes.
This is.
You. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I have 1 2-year-old.
Mm hmm.
I'm like, this is already too much. Like,
yeah.
Where's my living nanny? Yeah. I might need 16 of them.
Right.
But for my one kid. Yeah.
Some to care for me.
Right. Right.
Where's my living
right.
nanny?
I would like snacks prepared.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could go for some orange slices.
Yeah.
I could use some educational play.
That's right. Can you crush up my Tylenol right. on my pudding for me, please?
Right.
Then, yeah.
Yeah. What is it? This is a licensed professional counselor says, what is important is the environment. Is it safe? Is it nurturing? Are basic needs being met?
Sure.
Is there trust and communication? I still think no.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to say no.
I don't disagree with anything they said, but also no. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way. No.
Yeah.
No.
21 kids. I'm telling you right now, you go into a room if you're Christina or Gallup, and you're like, which one are you again? Those kids need to have name tags on,
yep.
is what I'm saying.
All
like,
the time. Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
It's definitely not going to be the same sort of like parent-child relationship that we are accustomed to, right? Like,
it's not going to be a parent-child relationship.
Right, you're just keeping something alive in another room.
Maybe.
Or you're paying somebody else to keep something alive
like
in another room.
It feels like it's like a teacher-child relationship because you have a room full of them and they're all the same age.
Right. You have a 2-deep basketball team. On yes. 4-deep basketball. You have a 2-deep, like you have offense and defense. You can form a football team.
Yeah, you could play some baseball against one another here. Yeah.
This is nutsos.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I think this is banana cakes. Okay, this is also like a why.
Yeah.
What made about you to be like, you know what, we need 21 babies in this house.
Yeah, you can only hope that they had a better reason than we can imagine.
Right.
Because I can't imagine any good ones.
Yeah, I mean, just think that's like multiple birthday parties a month.
Yeah.
Truly, yeah.
Like you're
almost 2 a month.
Yeah, you're constantly doing birthday parties.
Sure.
You're constantly...
Christmas is like a nightmare, I bet.
Yeah. And what happens, you know, all these soccer games, I mean, one, they're all on the same team.
Right,
so that's
that
easy.
Helps.
Like, so, yeah, this is interesting. Is this something that interests you here?
No.
Yeah.
Listen, I love my children very, very much. I do not want 19 more of them. Would that be right? No,
yeah.
I don't want 19 more kids in my house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want any more kids in my house.
I love going to Sunday school and like hanging out with, you know, 19, 21 kids at a time and playing games and talking about Jesus and then shipping them off to their own homes with their own parents.
Yeah.
Here's some candy. Go say hi to your family, right? Yeah. I'm cool with that. I don't need them in my house all the time.
Yeah, this feels more like a social experiment than a family dynamic.
It does.
It does,
so, like, we're going to be reading about this in 50 years.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like, in maybe not even 50. I think in 22 years, there will be a Netflix documentary about this family.
Right.
And the oldest kids are like, this was misery. Uh-huh. Right. This was like the worst.
They're all tattoo artists or have done weird connection issues
because they never had a relationship.
Do you think they'll have the same dynamics of like the firstborn and the youngest and then like all the middle kids and all that? Like, do you think they'll have that?
Yeah. Are you really a firstborn when you're 3 weeks older? That's what I think.
That's the question.
The weight of responsibility.
It's on my shoulders to care for the family units. I had to raise my younger sibling.
He probably did.
Who's 16 months younger than me.
Me and his nanny had to.
Yeah.
I had to teach him how to drive when I barely knew how to drive.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. So none of us are on board with the,
No.
Okay, good.
No. No, not at all. This is crazy town.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Lord's Prayer now. I think we need to take a moment in prayer and just center ourselves here.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, these people need the Lord's Prayer.
Their daily bread.
Dear God.
Yes.
Forgive them, for they know not what they do.
We're talking from Christianity Today.
Oh.
Yeah, we use them.
Our friends.
Somewhat frequently.
We do. One of these days, we're going to catch up with Christianity Tomorrow, but until then.
Yeah. Well, I guess this is technically Christianity Yesterday because this article already came out. Yeah. I think, we use Relevant probably more. Mm-hmm. Their chief competitor? I don't know.
I have a doubt.
Do they see each other as competitors? I have no
relevant,
idea.
In the kingdom of God, are any of us really competitors?
Yeah, Relevant does. Yes. Relevant is certainly a little bit edgier. Relevant's a little more fun. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they go for a younger demo, too.
Yeah.
Because they're relevant.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this is under their pastors section of Christianity Today. So
of course, this one appealed to you.
I didn't even read that.
So
you chose this topic, too. I just said it sounded good.
I said my favorite was, never mind. We're not going to do this.
Yeah. I gave four topics. This was one of the four.
Yeah.
I liked this one.
Yeah. All right. Headline here. Preaching daily bread is in quotes in a culture of excess. Yes.
Okay.
Most of Jesus' listeners lived hand to mouth. What if ours have plenty?
Okay.
All right. So this is the author here, Joy Elizabeth Lawrence, talked about a preaching series where they went through the Lord's Prayer and her petition of the Lord's Prayer.
The piece that she preached on.
Mm-hmm. Was, give us this day our daily bread.
Yeah.
All right. So this is what she's specifically focusing on in the Lord's Prayer. But first, let's just get into the Lord's Prayer. Let's talk about the Lord's Prayer. Then we will talk about this one line in the Lord's Prayer in depth. But let's start here.
Sure.
So what do we think about the Lord's Prayer?
Pro.
Yeah, pro.
I'm a fan. Yeah. I like it a lot. So I think, Lord's Prayer, for those of us who aren't familiar, right, comes from the Gospels. This is Jesus' disciples ask him to teach them how to pray. And this is Jesus' response. It says, pray then in this way. After telling you some things not to do, he says, pray then in this way. And he gives essentially what we now say as the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. We don't need to talk about the doxology and things like that. But essentially, the Lord's Prayer is there. And one of the lines that Jesus offers to the disciples is, give us this day our daily bread.
Yeah.
And so that's a piece of the Lord's Prayer that in church, we say at Lord of Life, we say it as part of the communion liturgy every week. It's pretty commonly held across denominations, like, Greek Orthodox, Catholic, Episcopal, Baptist. Everybody pretty much says, we should pray the Lord's Prayer, primarily because Jesus says, pray this way, right? I mean,
hard to get around that one.
Right. Clearly, Jesus saying it is not a reason that it's hard to get around it for some people, but
there's a lot of things
it's
Jesus
explicit,
said.
Yeah. Right. This one is
in this particular case.
But I'm going to say, saying the 30-second prayer, not that hard.
Right.
Loving your enemies, a little bit harder.
Right. But
also living the Lord's Prayer, maybe
probably
difficult.
Yeah, probably
maybe
a little
difficult.
Yeah. And we'll get into that. So that's where the Lord's Prayer kind of finds its roots.
Yeah.
It's been a central point of teaching as well as prayer life for generations, right? Mm-hmm. And so it finds teaching points in Luther's Small Catechism for us as Lutherans and catechisms of other denominations as well, where it's important enough that people have said, no, we need to teach people specifically about this prayer. We don't just need to say the words. We really need to teach people how to understand this prayer.
Yeah, and if you never went through a confirmation program in the Lutheran Church, which maybe you didn't.
Sure.
I didn't.
Or maybe if you did, you maybe forgot.
Right. More likely.
Yeah.
But also at least
I did not forget. So. Yeah.
Most times we go through a Luther's Small Catechism. Mm-hmm. That's cute. Lord of Life.
It is. It's adorable.
Yeah. And he touches it on like the theology of like baptism, mm-hmm. communion, Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. So it's like this is a key element.
Top four pieces of Christian faith.
According to Luther. Like, this is important to go through the Lord's Prayer. Break this thing down.
And understand
it. Let's talk about it. Let's go through this. I definitely would say Lord's Prayer, It's fire. That thing is great.
It's real good. Yeah. I love it.
It is really interesting. You could dissect this almost like word for word, mm-hmm. and you could find rich meaning in there. And at the same time, it could also be, for some Christians, a ritual that you say without thinking about very much.
Right, because every week you come in and go, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and then you go on to communion, and then you're out of the door.
Right.
And so, yeah, plenty of us probably say it that way. I know I certainly said
it that
way.
There are times that I say it just as a ritual,
yeah.
and it means, and I'm not thinking about what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I think when you really get into each of the petitions, which mm-hmm. is a line of the Lord's
right.
Prayer,
yep.
It is really powerful, really impactful, really interesting, and has a lot to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about daily bread, and I don't know, do we want to get into what the author's saying, or do we want to kind of break down daily bread from our own perspective first? Which direction do you want to take us, Patrick?
Yeah, sure.
So when you hear daily bread, you know, give us this day our daily bread, that's the what we're asking of God.
Mm-hmm.
What are you hearing in that? What do we take away from that? What are we asking God for?
So I've always just thought of it as like what you need for the day.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just, you know, it's supposed to be like a daily prayer, right? Like your daily bread.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I never thought of it as like literal bread, but.
Mm. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I definitely look at that as like, what do I need to sustain me for this day?
Mm-hmm.
So what are the things that I am in need of? So not just the literal food,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is important, but also the emotional, spiritual, physical components of my life. What do I need to make it through this day?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think the things that you guys highlighted that I really appreciate, right? It's all about this day. Right. And I heard it put recently one way. You don't pray for God to give you the Costco amount of bread. Right. You want enough bread for today. Right. I don't need to store up enough that I don't have to talk to God for another, you know, 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. No, give me enough so that I can come back and ask you for what mm-hmm. I need for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then it becomes this daily ritual of relying on God. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Luther kind of talks about this, too, is that recognizing daily bread, as you were saying, Patrick, right, it's not just about food, which is certainly important, but it's about every good gift that we have and recognizing that when we receive this good gift, it's actually a gift from God. So when I receive the ability to put gas in my car, that is a gift from God. When I receive, you know, 5 minutes of time to sit and read with my daughter, that is a gift from God. When mm-hmm. I, you know, have all of these different things that are happening to me throughout the day, or the simple things of I'm able to wear clothes, I'm able to have a house to live in, I'm able to, you know, go to the doctor if I need to go to the doctor, right? Mm-hmm. All of those are parts of the daily bread that mm-hmm. we're talking about within the Lord's Prayer. And so we're asking God to continue to open our eyes to the ways that God is providing that daily sustenance for us every day.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why this is in there. Clearly, I think, harkens back mm-hmm. to a story in the Old Testament.
Sure.
Where God gives the Israelites, as they're wandering the desert, manna from heaven and lets them gather enough for the day.
Right.
And then if they try to keep it and store it overnight, it all rots.
Yep.
And you cannot.
It gets
do
like
that.
Worms and stuff. Yeah. It's super gross. Yeah.
Yeah. I think
basically
just
the same thing happens to bread in Texas. So we get
right,
it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we
stupid
pump ours full
houses.
Of like sugar and preservatives.
Sure. It does help. It maybe makes it 2 days, but yeah.
Yeah.
No, seriously, bread molds way faster here than other places in the world.
Well, it's a lot of humidity.
I understand why. I'm just saying it's a thing.
He's from Ohio and he's mad about it.
I am. My bread goes bad too fast. Anyway.
It goes fast in South Carolina too.
It did. Yeah.
And I think this is a theme, this daily bread mm-hmm. idea is not central to the Lord's Prayer, not only found there. It all the way goes back to the Old Testament.
Absolutely.
So I think we're clearly, in my opinion, clearly drawing from that imagery.
Yeah.
All right. So we want to get into kind of what Joy has to say.
Yeah. Let's hear mm-hmm. let's hear what Joy's got for us.
Okay. So.
And then we'll talk to sadness and fear and anger.
Isn't that a movie?
Yeah.
Inside Out.
That was a little Pixar movie.
Yeah.
I may or may not have been reading that with my daughter the other day. So, you know. It's,
it's on the brain.
Inside Out's on the mind.
Okay. So she's going to have three things.
Okay. Three of them.
Yeah.
Number one.
The word us.
I love this about the Lord's Prayer.
Me too. This is
that
really
it's like
good.
Communal
it's
and inclusive.
Communal. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That when Jesus teaches
I
us.
I hate it. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Put my foot down.
Individualism.
Yeah, but that when we pray, right, we're not praying for ourselves. When Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray, he does not teach
it's
them to pray for themselves. It prays for and as a community. That the prayer is intended to be spoken as part of a larger whole.
That's interesting because that's not at all how we approach like spirituality.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. In modern America.
No, absolutely not. But I mean, just think about the first word, right? Our Father. implies that this is the father of people other than just you. You're not, you don't enter into the relationship with God saying, my father, which is also true, but you enter into this prayer recognizing, no, you, this is God, the father of all of us, of this entire community, of the entire world also. But yeah. And so it starts in that communal relationship. I love that about the Lord's Prayer.
Me too. And at this, I think when we hear this word us, and it reshapes this idea of like, give me what I need today, it has calls to action in there. Because what happens if I say, God, give me what I need today, and I have those things met, and I have extra, and somebody out there doesn't have enough.
Right.
If I'm praying, give us our daily bread, it does give this obligation. God saying, like, I did. You took extra manna and tried to store that away while your neighbor did not have enough.
And like, you got worms in your pantry.
Yeah. And like, that's kind of what it is. Like this idea of like, this is what you are doing. And it's convicting. It has this conviction, especially, and we'll get into this at the end, when we have this idea of like, what does this mean when we say, give me thy daily bread when my pantry is full?
Sure.
That's a very different experience than a large portion of the Christian community who has said this prayer. So,
The us also forces, right, just as it's making us think about those who maybe are without, right? It's making us think about God providing bread and providing daily sustenance for, you know, as we would hear it in the Bible terms, right? The righteous and the unrighteous alike.
Yeah.
That God causes the rain to flow both on the people we like and the people we don't like, essentially. And so just because we agree with someone or because someone's on our side doesn't mean that God isn't also providing good things in their life.
Right.
And recognizing that, you know, we are actually praying that God would continue to provide them with the things that they need to survive that day, because that's how they come to recognize God, is through that sustenance.
Well, yeah, and ultimately you don't get to make the distinction between who is righteous and unrighteous, right?
Sure, but that's, we like to think we do.
Of course we do, but it's that's a nice humbling moment.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'd like to think that I'd be good at that.
At humbling moments?
No, distinguishing between the righteous and the unrighteous. Okay. I'd like to think that that'd be a skill set.
Sure.
I'm real good at humbling moments for myself.
Yeah.
I have a lot of them.
I'm really good at humbling you. How's that? Right.
Sure. Says the man who wears a dress to work.
A robe. Thank you.
We can argue about this.
If anything, it's a wrap. All right.
Wrap.
Anyway.
Keep going.
It's neither here nor there.
Yeah. So I think this does call to question, you know, sometimes are we getting this wrong when we say this prayer?
Probably.
And our storehouses have much while our neighbor has little.
Yeah.
And that's pretty convicting because I have food in my pantry.
Yep.
And there's a guy on the street who's got none.
Yep.
And so like, what do I do when I'm saying that prayer?
And what I think we often do is over spiritualize the prayer, right? And we say, oh, well, it's about giving us enough of Jesus for today, or giving us enough, you know, whatever we like, but we're taking away the literal fact that, hey, Jesus was looking at people who were really concerned about, were they going to have bread to eat tomorrow?
Yeah.
And that's who Jesus said to pray, give us our daily bread.
I think in a lot of ways we over-spiritualize a lot of what Jesus said. You know, we like to pretend that practical concerns are less, I don't know, less of a moral imperative, you know?
Especially because they absolve us of having to live differently.
Sure. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's one thing to be like, my daily bread, like when it's all up here, it's all cerebral. You know, it's all about me feeling a certain way.
Right.
And it's a lot harder to lean into that when it's about, maybe I need to pay attention to the needs of the people around me and actually do something about it.
And maybe I need to take some of the food out of my pantry, whether that's literal or metaphorical, but and use that to provide for others.
But also, I mean, that it being a spiritual thing too, even if we're not talking literal food, right? That doesn't necessarily absolve you of responsibility either, because you, there are ways that you can see that other people's emotional needs are being met and spiritual needs are being met as well.
I would not disagree that it does not absolve you. I think it's easier to feel absolved when we cerebralize it and spiritualize it.
Yeah, and I agree too, but I just wanted to point out that for myself mainly.
I like it.
As a reminder.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think part of the conviction is if we're saying that prayer in church, in the home, as we do this podcast, and we see the hungry while we have food, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah.
That's a very real, if we're asking God to give me daily bread and he did and more, what am I supposed to do with the more?
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty, pretty clear.
I really want to preach a sermon on this now and talk about it when we do one of our food collection Sundays and have like all the food around the altar as we're talking about, give us this day our daily bread.
Do it.
Like,
you're in charge.
I'm aware. I'm just like, I'm having this idea.
Boom.
Well, it'd be she'd already did the food collection, so that won't. Anyway, that doesn't matter.
You do that a lot, though.
Well, it'll come back around. Yeah. It'll come back around.
It'll happen.
Be ready.
All right. Next word that we're really going to focus in on.
Okay.
This day.
Okay.
And we already kind of talked about this. Well, you got it. Go away. Gosh. Let's talk about friendship.
Take
Lisa,
my mic.
Let's just segue back and what good friends we are. Yes.
All right. So this day. Mm-hmm. And we've already kind of discussed this idea of like what we're praying for is a today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what does that mean spiritually or emotionally or physically, however we're addressing that?
Assuming a 24-hour literal day.
All right, sure. We'll roll with that. Yeah,
sure.
We'll roll with an earth time day. Yeah, sure. I think it's what we were talking about, right? That we're coming to God every day mm-hmm. for this. Mm-hmm. That it's not asking God to give us enough so that we don't have to come back for 6 weeks, but it's every day we're into this relationship, and it's a relationship of dependence, right? It's not a relationship of self-reliance where I come to you when I need something. It's a relationship of daily dependence and assurance of God's promises. Mm-hmm. It's like the difference between like your best friend and maybe like your boss. Maybe this is a way to think of it, right? I mean, you go to your best friend every day with the things that you are worried about or troubling you or whatever. You go to your boss when you really need something or you're trying to get something, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe this metaphor is falling apart, but I think there's a different dynamic there. And I think it's
how do you feel about your boss, Patrick?
Yeah, let's go.
My boss is my best friend.
Aww.
Jesus.
Oh. Still sweet. I'll stand by my awe. That was still nice. It was touching.
Yeah, I think maybe a better relationship is, our better analogy is your child and you.
Okay.
That my child is literally incapable of providing for his own needs without my intervention.
Sure.
Like, and even, you know, for you have older children than mine do, but even then, like.
Still relatively incapable.
I mean, like, they can do it, but it's a train wreck.
That's right.
So.
Sure.
And you don't want to watch the peanut butter
and
jelly
only
get made.
It lasts for so long, right? Like, they can only get it done so long, mm-hmm. you know, before it falls apart. Maybe that's an apt analogy too, of like, we can try to do it on our own, but it's a train wreck.
Yeah.
So I think it's that analogy of like, as a child has to come to mom or dad and say, I need blank. This is what it's supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. And when we get into these spaces where we trick ourselves into coming, we don't need to come to God to say, I need blank. Then it's easy to get separate from that.
Mm-hmm.
That intentional dependence matters. And I think that this is, requiring us to pray a prayer of dependence. And I like that word. Like, I need you, God, in my life today to make it through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And without that, it's a train wreck.
Yeah. Right.
Things will fall apart. So that means even if I have food in my pantry and I open my fridge, there's going to be food there. This prayer matters because
mm-hmm.
it's not just about those physical, tangible things that I might have plenty of. It's what happens if without God present mm-hmm. in my life, it's a train wreck.
Yeah.
It's like an intentional place of humility.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All right. And then finally, we have the word bread.
There it is.
Yeah.
My favorite.
I do love the carbs.
Right. Never met a carb I didn't like.
Okay.
So
what do you think, of the word, why we use the word bread here and not give us this day our daily
meat.
Stuff?
Steak, pizza,
sure.
McNuggets.
Yeah, well, I think the author will establish bread's a really simple thing, right? Yeah. Especially for the audience that Jesus is talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them would not have had, definitely didn't have McNuggets, but would not have had meat on a daily basis, mm-hmm. if hardly ever, right? Mm-hmm. But everybody had access to bread at some, well, not everybody. The goal was you had access to some level of bread.
It's like
right?
a staple food,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's kind of the same reason we use bread and wine at communion, right? Because mm-hmm. they were common things that everybody had at the table, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because you didn't drink the water, so if you were drinking things, you had wine and you had bread because it was simple. It's flour and...
Beautiful culture.
Yeah, it's flour and water. That's all it is, right? I mean, mm-hmm. It's not hard to make the bread. And so the simplicity of it and also the universality, right? I mean, you can go to any culture around the world at any point and there's some form
sure.
of bread being made, whether
mm-hmm.
that's,
yeah.
you know, whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. If Jesus was in different parts of the world, it might be give us this day our daily rice
mm-hmm.
or a daily potato.
Right.
You know, or like.
But I think even in those, there's forms of bread that I
sure.
think could have applied, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't. I had like a dim sum thing today, which is kind of like a steamed dumpling, steamed roll. Like that's a rice flour bread, I think.
But,
know. But
it is the food of the commoner,
yeah.
in a sense.
Yeah.
That's what it is supposed to be. Like the simple food of the commoner. But at the same time, for us in America, bread is both simply common, relatively inexpensive, but it can also be exciting and fancy. Yeah. Every time you go to a restaurant and they bring out bread, it's like a thing, right? You're like, ooh, look at this bread. Where could I get some of this?
That and tortilla chips.
Even
man.
Though I have like a thing in my pantry slowly molding. Right. You know, like, well, like, bread.
Yeah.
Can we get some more bread? Like, like, it can become this like exciting thing. And I think that, that we here in America have this dual, have, can have a dual relationship with it. And that matters too. Like, it is exciting and it is simple all at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Any other thoughts on the word bread?
I love bread.
Yeah, that's where I'm stuck, basically.
I just love it so much.
I know.
Should not do these hungry.
We should pick a different time to talk about
it. We could have brought some hot bread here. Oh, my gosh. Some butter. Yep. It would be just, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to need
a
minute. I'm going to need a minute.
On the way home. Yeah.
But
yeah.
You're not going to get hot bread at
the
drive-thru.
I am. Cane's does Texas toast.
Oh, they do. It's real good, too. All right.
Yeah. Or if you get a sandwich, it has bread.
No, not the same.
Everybody's taking time off to go to Cane's after this.
I have a dumb salad to eat. So.
Yeah, your choice, man. We told you that salad was a choice.
That's right. Yeah. You made your salad. Now you. Right.
So one of the things Joy here mentioned at the top of the article is that here in America, which I assume if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably in. Maybe you're not.
If you're not, we love you anyway.
Great. Yeah. Here in America.
And how did you get here?
About 90% of us
are
food secure.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean food deserts don't exist.
Right.
That doesn't mean many Americans don't experience hunger or things like that. But the vast majority of us have food security.
So if we're figuring like 300 million Americans, right?
Mm-hmm.
That still means we've got about 30 million people who are not food secure.
Right.
That'd be
correct.
Right. 30 million would be 10%. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
So I mean, 30 million people.
That's
still
a lot
of people who do not have daily bread.
Sure.
Literal daily bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm maybe speaking on out of turn here. The three of us are food secure.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the bread that's molding in my pantry. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Yep.
But you can get more molding bread.
I can.
Like I know that there's food.
Let's get this pre-molded.
I know that there's food in my fridge.
Yeah.
And I have no question when I wake up, will I eat today?
Yeah.
It's not a matter. Like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It may not be food I want. It may not be food I like, but it will be food. There will be food today.
Yep.
Like that's a given. So
it may be a salad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a salad.
I may be grumpy about it.
But it will be there.
But it's there.
Yes. So how do we experience this when we don't experience this? How do we experience this prayer when we don't actually feel it? We don't have to pray this prayer for there to be bread.
Yeah.
Gratitude?
Yeah. I think gratitude is a huge piece of it. I think, you know, recognition of the fullness of your pantry being a gift from God, not something that you accomplished yourself.
Yeah.
Right. I think that is a huge place to start. And that's been a turning point for me in my own spiritual walk, right? That the recognition of every good gift that I have has never been mine. Right. Mm-hmm. And so like, you know, we can turn this into a conversation about generosity as well. Right. I mean, I'm never giving out of something that I earned. I'm giving out of a gift that was given to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just sharing. Right. It's not a matter of
the only time regifting is OK.
Right. Yeah. Not about the only time. It is a time when regifting is OK.
Do you regift?
I don't
want
to talk about it.
He does.
I can't be found guilty for this on the podcast. Anyway. So I think gratitude is a place to start, recognizing that like, when our pantry is full, that is a gift. Mm-hmm. And recognizing that when we have the things that we need every day, that is a gift. And it's not something that we accomplished on our own. It's something that we accomplished through a gift that was given to us.
Yeah.
And then, you know, taking that to say, okay, how am I actively working towards filling the pantries of others, whether those are literal or metaphorical pantries? How am I actively working for the betterment of others so that they have daily bread also, and making that a part of your spiritual walk? Not because it makes you loved more, but because it's part of living out of the generosity that's already been shown to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's an episode of The Simpsons.
I love that.
Yeah. And
I don't even know what episode it is, but I already love it.
Yeah. And they're saying grace at the table for before the meal. Uh-huh. And Homer, the dad, asks Bart who's the kind of the mischievous one, to say grace.
Okay.
And he says, "Dear God, we paid for all this food ourselves, so thanks for nothing."
That's a very Bart moment. I like it. Yeah.
But I think it's more than a Bart moment. I think it can be an American or any of us moment of I earned it.
Yep.
This isn't, God did not give me my daily bread. I earned my daily bread.
Right.
I worked for my daily bread.
Bootstraps.
Yeah.
My daily bread.
Yeah. I got my education. I tried hard in school. Mm-hmm. I worked to get a good job. I had those lean years where I was nervous about my daily bread, but now I'm living in the fat of my mm-hmm. daily bread. Mm-hmm. And
high cotton, baby.
And I got it. Like, yeah. And yeah, I'm getting the good bread. Okay. I'm not getting, your Wonder Breads,
bougie bread. Yeah.
Wonder Bread is delicious. Don't knock
Wonder
Bread, man.
I'm getting the fancy go to the bakery county bread, not the Miss Barrett's. Yeah. I'm getting the good breads. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because I earned it. Mm-hmm. And so I think we can think that way. That's part of this. And I think we have to intentionally humble ourselves by saying this prayer. Like this is not just a prayer to get our daily bread. It's to remind us where mm-hmm. it comes from. And so this is why I think this part of the Lord's Prayer is so important. And it's important not just for the beggars in the streets to pray. It's important for kings in their castles to mm-hmm. pray, that they both need to see dependence on God in this moment, even if the storerooms are full, mm-hmm. That we still need to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, any other thoughts here on our journey through this one petition of the Lord's Prayer?
I love it. I like the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. I like the conversation. Yeah, this is good.
Yeah, I like breaking it down into individual pieces. Maybe we could do a series.
Sure, we could do some more on this.
And like all good series, you start in the middle.
Yeah. We'll circle back.
Right. Yeah. Maybe we'll work from here to the end, and then we'll go back to the beginning.
To the Our Fathers. Yeah.
Maybe this might be a fun little series to kind of pop back into. Let's we'll break down another petition of the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
We'll just scattershot this, though. Hey. We're not going to find a pattern now.
We've been jumping all over the Old Testament. We might as well do it with the Lord's Prayer, too. All right?
We try to take it literally.
Linearly.
It works, yeah.
You got in order.
In order. Chronologically.
Kind of.
By, go away. For a while.
Yeah.
And then we kind of...
as long as we could. We took it through the narrative.
Yeah, we took it through
We got real bored there in the middle, so mixed it up.
We didn't need to change it up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, if you liked this episode or any of our other episodes, be sure to like, rate, and review us on your favorite podcasting listening device thing, software, system.
Pick a word, David.
One of them. You can find us at BeyondSundayPodcast.com and be sure to send us an email at BeyondSundayPodcast@gmail.com and let us know what you think about daily bread and where you see your daily bread coming from. Or if we got something wrong, let us know that too. We like respectful corrections.
Yeah. And if you have plenty, give this week. Find a way to give.
Yeah.
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 Pay for the person behind you at Chick-fil-A.
Sure.
Oh, that's super annoying.
No, it's cute.
I really dislike that.
How is it annoying to pay for someone behind you?
Because then it puts pressure on the person behind you to then pay for the person behind them. And then their order's like $40 and you are ordering a large tea.
So pay for a person behind you and hand the person a note and say, give this note to them that says, do not feel obligated to pay for the next person.
Also putting a lot on fast food employees that are trying to ring all that up in order.
Fine, but do something else. What do I care?
There are better ways.
Yeah. Give from your storeroom. Whatever.
Also, just somebody's going through the Chick-fil-A drive-through line, like they're probably food secure. I got all sorts of problems
just
with this.
Give to somebody.
Even if you're food secure, you can still need daily bread. Okay, so whatever. All right. All right, Elise, you do what you want to do.
Right.
I will.
If you see Elise behind you in the Chick-fil-A line, do not buy her.
Tell Chick-fil-A, she's got me. She's going to pay for my order.
This happens all the time, and I never pass it back.
This has never happened to me. Who does this happen to all the time?
You start it. You got to start it. That's the key.
If I start it, it doesn't happen to me.
Come back later.
Oh, okay. Just circle back in the line.
Just keep going.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.